Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you heard the latest? If that question is asked, we generally want to be in the loop and not to feel that as if we're left out of knowing whatever is going on that person who is talking to us is talking about. Maybe it's local or national or international news. Maybe it's the latest celebrity gossip, or maybe it's the latest of what's happening in our circle of family and friends. Sometimes if we haven't heard the latest, we might feel shortchanged or left out. But if we reflect for a moment, why are we so concerned about hearing the latest? If we stop and think about it, haven't we really heard it all before in one way or another? Yeah, different names and different places, perhaps, but in general, the same tragedies and triumphs, the same horrors and heroes, the same dreams and disappointments, the same loves and losses. All these ingredients in the human drama have been served up to us before. That very point is made by Israel's wise King Solomon, who had seen all of mankind's ambitions and himself had tried a good number of them. In the book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 1, he wrote, "What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, 'Look, this is something new'? It was already here long ago. It was here before our time." So will there really be anything new in the news today or tomorrow? Not really. As Solomon says, there is nothing new under the sun. But God is not limited. He has some news for us this morning that really is new. Jesus says this new thing will be his second coming on the last day. And he contrasts this news with the humdrum monotony that human history displays. In the first verses of our reading, he says, "No one knows when that day and hour will be, not the angels of heaven, not even the Son, but only the Father. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when the Son of Man returns. In fact, in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the very day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not realize what was coming until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be when the Son of Man returns." We see that the time and days of Noah were characterized by the same routine as ours. People eating and drinking and getting married. People's options and experiences are limited. But the mistake that people at Noah's time made, and the mistake that we all are tempted to make also, is to conclude that God's options are also limited, just like ours are. Noah, however, by faith, knew that God's options are limitless. He believed that God could do a new thing, something that had never happened before in the world and something that would never happen again. And so when that great flood was upon them, Noah and his family were prepared for its coming because they believed God and had listened to God's warning. Jesus gives us a similar announcement of a new thing that will happen. He says in our reading, beginning with verse 42, "So be alert, because you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the master of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. You also need to be ready for this reason. The Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him." These words of our Savior should stir our hearts. Think of what the result would be if people would hear and read these words of Jesus with the same devotion and the same attention that they give to the latest news or the latest gossip. Many Bibles are left closed and in the corner while the TV or the smartphone are running. We've heard about eating and drinking and marrying thousands of times. We've seen the sighing, the crying, and dying day after day in the news. There's nothing new or refreshing about that kind of news. Rather, it's depressing, and sometimes it overwhelms us with an awareness that things just aren't right with humankind. But in our Bibles, we read about stupendous events that directly affect each and every one of us. These events are not like far-off wars or natural disasters somewhere halfway around the world. Rather, they happen right in our own backyards and living rooms. Are we watching? Are we ready for them? Well, this church year season of Advent invites us to renew our vigil, to renew our watchfulness and readiness. We stand up and wait for that new day of the Lord because we have already seen and already experienced the wonderful blessings that Jesus has brought through his first coming 2,000 years ago. Jesus has done something that has never been done before. He perfectly obeyed the will of God. He has done what mankind would never even have thought of doing. He took upon himself the sins of the world and suffered death for them. He lives, whereas all that we could do was die. And he continues to do new things as he daily comforts us with a promise that all these new things, the forgiveness of our sins and eternal salvation that he has won for us, are truly ours now. He has loved each and every one of us from eternity, and he's poured out that love of his upon us in our baptism. He serves that love to us continuously in the Lord's Supper, and he announces his love to us again and again in the gospel. Now these things are worth getting excited about. These things are worth telling other people about. This is news that is truly new. On this first Sunday in Advent, we watch for new things. We look forward to the second coming of Jesus because we have seen his first coming in Bethlehem. The prophets and the apostles describe the return of Jesus with words that convey something more wonderful than our minds can even begin to fully imagine and comprehend. They use pictures about Jesus' second coming, describing it as a great banquet, greater than any meal or feast that we have been a part of. They describe the festive atmosphere of a marriage celebration that will never end. They describe a place that has been personally and lovingly prepared for each of us in heaven by our Savior Jesus. Perhaps we should dwell a while on these images in the midst of a world like ours that is so full of darkness and tragedy. For instance, at the center of many American dreams is the perfect home, a lovely place with all the furniture and all the gadgets and all the conveniences that we have always wanted or could ever dream of, located in the perfect neighborhood. Think about again, now, as you probably have done before, how and where you would want to construct your dream home. Make it as luxurious and as perfect as you can think of. Now know that that ideal, that dream home that you're thinking of is just a rundown shack by comparison to what you will enjoy in the home that your Heavenly Father has prepared for you, has tailor-made for you at his side in heaven. Jesus, your Savior, has gone to heaven to prepare a place for you so that where he is, you also may be. That that place will surpass anything that we could mentally or physically construct here on earth. And Jesus' return on the last day will establish us as the eternal residents of that city that's not made by human hands and that is not subject to damage or to decay. Now that is news. And Jesus invites us to watch and to be ready for his second coming, even as we prepare again to observe again at Christmas how wonderful his first coming was. Mary and Joseph were surprised by the news that the angels announced to them. Simeon and Zechariah were astonished by the remarkable nature of God's new covenant that he was establishing with his people. God himself had actually become flesh and blood and dwelt among the shabby homes of the hills of Judea and Galilee in the first century. Prepare yourself for that same miracle as we journey again toward Bethlehem. Watch for that new coming that Jesus has promised to us. This morning, in the absolution, Jesus spoke to us the words of his love and forgiveness. Your sins are forgiven. He spoke those same words to Noah and to Mary. And one day, we will hear with that same directness on the day of the coming of the Son of Man, on the last day. Our impatience, our inclination to get things backward, to regard the gospel of Jesus as boring, and instead to regard the news and the gossip of the human events of the world around us as exciting and interesting. Our love for any old story, as long as it's a story that in some way is about ourselves, all these things have been blown away by this truly good news of Jesus. The gospel has exposed those old things for what they really are, the lies and the illusions of the devil. Instead, now, as believers in Jesus, we sing a new song, proclaiming the wonders of God's love and salvation. As the psalmist writes in Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Singing a new song, that is what our lives as believers in Jesus are all about. That's what the church is all about. In our worship, in our prayers, in our life together as brothers and sisters in Christ, there is that melody of this new song of our Savior. Everyone who sings this new song with the psalmist looks forward with joy and eagerness to that second coming of Jesus on the last day. The noise and the clatter of this world's stories are now boringly dull to us. Their tunes, their melodies are all the same. And those who sing them can only expect more of the same and finally, in the end, death. But by contrast, we sing and we watch and we wait for that day of life, when our Savior will unite our voices in song with the voices of those who have gone before us and are currently singing songs of praise to our Savior in heaven. Now that is news that is truly new. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have heard this good news. You've seen it. Now go and share it. Go sing it. Amen.